The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. And we're joined on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Finally, we got to drink from the winning cup this week as the Saints won in 2017. Normally, that score with Atlanta, normally they're on the losing side, but they end up with a W. My thing about it is it's rare that Young Weiku has been a killer for the Saints. And, you know, three misfires from him. But the Saints defensively were able to close out a game. And that had really been a problem with this football team.
I tell you what, I mean, it's exciting, and I was surprised, obviously, like I think a lot of people were surprised. You got the new coach bump. Always loved Darren Rizzi. And I'm telling you one thing, you know, it's always interesting because I travel around the league and I call games and I have relationships with coaches and guys that you talk to. He's always one of the first guys I get on the field with because, you know, you come into the town, right? And you go to practice, and then you meet with the head coach, you meet with the play callers, right, both offensively and defensively. You meet with the quarterback, you meet with a prominent defensive player. And, you know, Rizzi is one of those guys that I always seek him out on the field on Sunday and just pick his brain about special teams, just pick his brain about football. And it's really interesting that he becomes the interim head coach because, ultimately, I think one of the things that probably goes it's an unfair assessment, but it's just unfair. Special team coaches are really, really good simply because they have their fingers on everybody. Like, they have involvement with everybody on the football team. There's not a guy on the team that they don't have some type of relationship with, that guy doesn't do something on special teams. Everybody does. And so it's really interesting, you know, to see all the success that a guy like John Harbaugh has had. And to see Rizzi get that opportunity, and he's always so gracious with his time and his knowledge. And when I called the game one of the season, Carolina's New Orleans Saints, I probably spent 20 minutes with him hashing out the new kickoff rule. Because he was one of the main, you know, one of the main guys who developed it. And so is a great dude. I'm so excited for him to have that success. It's awesome. And, you know, obviously it's fun to win.
Mark, this coming week it looks as though Eric McCoy is going to return to the lineup. For people listening, kind of break that down. Because for me, Eric McCoy, players under 27 years old, he's the one guy that could start for any team in the NFL. If you had a great center, you could move him either left guard or right guard. He could start there. And I think having your captain up front who kind of sets the tone and is the communicator up front is so important in, I don't care if it's high school, college, or the pros, but especially in the NFL. I think it's the second hardest position to play other than quarterback. And I think it gets underrated when you lose that center, what it does to your offense.
Yeah, no, there's no question. I mean, you look at the downfall of the New Orleans Saints this year, and it's really their offensive line that got decimated by injuries. McCoy started, and then obviously, you know, your guy's starting right guard got injured. And so there's been issues up front. And listen, I don't care how quote unquote skilled you are, you know, how many good wide receivers you have. You know, if you can't control line of scrimmage, you do not win in the National Football League. And McCoy is one of those guys that is exceptional. The other thing is one of the things that normally happens in the NFL is the center position is challenged from the standpoint you got to snap the ball, right? You've got a snap hand, you've got an off hand, and it makes it a little bit harder to play that way because you got to secure the snap, shotgun, and all those things. So one of the things the NFL does all the time, or our teams do, is they walk up linebackers, they walk up A-gap blitzers, they walk people up, and they try to get 5 1-on-1s. One of the big things they try to do is isolate the center in pass protection, because a lot of times the center is not a very good pass protector, and his job is harder because he's got to snap the ball. So that's one of those places where teams will take advantage, especially when you bring in a backup center. And you see it time and time again throughout the National Football League. So it's just smart football is what it is. And so that has really been one of the big downfalls to 7 straight losses to the New Orleans Saints. To me, it's more than anything, is they lost players on their offensive front, on their offensive line. And the first 2 weeks of the season, man, they were protecting their quarterback. They were running the snot out of the ball. They were crushing people. And then all of a sudden, guys started getting hurt, and the result was they can't win. And that's a big issue with just with the NFL in general. And McCoy is one of those guys. He's just a damn good player.
Mark, like a cat with 9 lives, the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, you look at Denver. Bo Nix gets them down there. It looks to be they'll finally get a loss. And they blocked the damn field goal. Now, it's good to be good, but it's good to be good and lucky. And right now, the Chiefs have walked this fine line almost the entire year of pulling games out like this, because most of their victories, man, it comes down right to the bitter end for it. That is really something to watch in the NFL, to see that occur like week in, week out, that you come up with a play. I don't care if it's on offense, defense, special teams. They find a way to win.
Yeah, you know what my dad used to tell me when I was a little kid? Luck has a smell of perspiration. And they just find a way to get it done, and that has to do with preparation and everything else. Now, I'm going to put that loss on and I talked about this on my podcast, the Seeing Truth podcast. I'm going to put it on Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, because the kid playing left tackle on PAT field goal, a kid by the name of Alex Forsythe, has been getting his ass kicked for 8 weeks in a row. That dude gets rolled up more than anybody I've ever seen. I played left tackle on PAT field goal my entire career with the Broncos. 6 years there, I played right guard in Washington on PAT field goal. So I just played 12 years there as a guy standing in there taking it to the teeth. I can't remember one time getting rolled up and put on my back, and not one time. And it's a technique flaw. And that kid, you can go back 7-8 weeks. Every weekend he gets rolled up and put on his ass. And the fact that they never changed him out, the fact that they have, like, he is awful. I've never seen anything like it. And you can find the videos. They're all over the internet right now. It is week in, week out. I can show you the Raiders and the Chargers and the Saints and the Carolina Panthers and, I mean, everybody is – they're taking turns on this dude. They're just like – they're drawing straws to rush against him. And he gets put on his ass every single weekend. And how that dude still has a job is beyond me. So you, as a head coach, you lost that game. That's on you. And it sickens me because the Broncos – and I'll give you a number. You'll never guess what this number is. In regards to the last 3 games of the Chiefs and the Broncos, okay? Let me give you a number. The number is 2. Could you just venture a guess? The number 2. What do you think that is? Any guess? Either of you have a guess?
None.
Game winners or
game-winning kicks that get blocked?
The Kansas City Chiefs, in the last three times they've met the Denver Broncos, have scored the sum total of two touchdowns.
Wow.
In three games. That vaunted offense with that incredible quarterback has scored two touchdowns in three games. The Broncos have kicked their ass. I mean, they have literally kicked their ass the last three times they've played. And yet, in those games, the Kansas City Chiefs are 2-1. They've scored two touchdowns. It is unbelievable what they've done. And you can sit there and say, hey, is it a blueprint, right? Because what the Broncos did was what they've done the last three games. Man, they will lock up in man-to-man coverage. They will blitz Patrick Mahomes almost on every single down. And they got him to the point where he was skittish. Like, he missed – he was so sped up, he missed a bunch of throws. Now, I don't know how many teams can do that, how many teams can play that style of defense. And I would venture to guess not a whole lot. But the Broncos have their number, and to come away without a victory in that particular game where you essentially dominated Patrick Mahomes in that offense is upsetting, to say the least.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, and I got to give kudos to a guy who grew up in Louisiana. What Vance Joseph has done with that defense, Mark? I don't know that he'll get he may get another shot to be a head coach, but Vance know what the hell he's doing.
Oh, there's no question he's going to get a shot to be a head coach. And you know, ultimately, the first go around here in Denver, he just didn't have really a chance. Like because he got hired as the head coach, but he wasn't given the autonomy to pick his coaching staff. So Elway only let him pick several coaches. Like, they made him keep guys. So he really didn't have the authority to truly be the head coach. And now that he's coached under Sean Payton, seen how it's worked, Vance is going to get another opportunity, deserves another opportunity, because that guy is coaching his butt off. And I've talked to so many players, whether it was his time in Arizona or in Denver or whatever, that have played for Vance. They love playing for Vance. And you see how hard they play. And remember, a year and two months ago, where they gave up 70, a 70 burger to the Miami Dolphins. And myself and a lot of people were going, you got to dump him. Like, that's awful, right? And then you look at what this defense has done since then. It's been incredibly impressive. So kudos to Vance Joseph, man. He deserves another opportunity.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Mark, I remember we talked to you about this a few weeks back, the NFC North specifically, and how good that division was. And you had mentioned that even though the Bears at the time were 4-2, that you thought that they were kind of the distant fourth place team out of those four squads. And it looks like you're 100% correct. Ever since that game-winning Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels threw, it feels like the Bears are on a downward spiral that does not seem like it's going to end anytime soon. The loss this past weekend to New England, a lot of folks up in Chicago called it what it was. It was embarrassing. You scored 3 points against the Patriots. You get beat 19-3. And it was, I mean, Caleb Williams gets sacked 9 times by a defense that had 19 sacks entering the game. And Bobby had talked about this last night when I was bringing it up with him. He's just like, a lot of those sacks are on the rookie QB. And like, you can't blame it all on the offensive line.
The majority, it's on Caleb.
Look, I know the offensive line for the Bears isn't very good, but at the same time, you know, the rookie QB takes some blame in that as well. But my question for you is, when is the spiral going to end for Chicago? Because if you look at their schedule, it's kind of quirky because six of their final eight games are all six of their divisional games against the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, some of the class of the NFC, and then their other two games, just against, you know, the 49ers and the Seahawks. So I don't know, Mark. This is a 4-2 team that we could see potentially fall very, very far down to potentially 4-13.
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing well at all. Their rookie QB is not playing well, and obviously they fire their offensive coordinator today, and then they hire an offensive coordinator in I can't remember the guy's name off the top
Shane
of my
Waldron.
Head.
But it was from Shane, Seattle.
It was Shane was Waldron, fired, but yeah. The guy they appointed was the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers last year. Bobby Thomas, anyhow, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But so they fire Shane Waldron. They promote the passing game coordinator, who was the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers last year, who ended up getting dumped midway through the season because their offense was so bad. So that's the guy that's going to run your offense now. And your rookie quarterback is playing awful football. He's holding on to the football. He's not getting rid of it. He's not throwing it to his checkdowns. And you give up nine sacks, and I'll just throw this at you. Like, the quarterback, the sack to me is more quarterback-driven statistic than it is an offensive line statistic. And the quarterbacks have to understand how to get rid of the ball, when to get rid of the ball. And the other thing is, it's also an offensive coordinator statistic. So if you give up nine sacks, it's not your O-line that sucks. It's your quarterback and your play caller who suck. And so, yeah, they fired Shane Waldron, and I understand that. But, man, I'm telling you, like, they have purchased or they have built that football team. And I said this in the offseason. Like, the thing that bothered me watching film in college of Caleb Williams is his propensity not to get rid of the ball, his propensity to hold on to it, scramble around, and make a remarkable, ridiculous throw off schedule. Well, I'm just telling you guys, you can't live that way in the NFL. It's going to cost you. You'll make more mistakes than you make big-time plays. And that has, you know, that has obviously bared out with the way he has played football this year. But, you know, I look at Ryan Poles, the general manager, and I said this from day one because people were all excited. You know, I mean, they had their panties in a wad over, hey, man, we've got a Dunze, and we went out and got Keenan Allen, and we've got DJ Moore, and we've got Cole Kmet, and we've got, you know, Swift at the running back position, and we've got so many weapons. And I heard this time and time again. You do not build a team from the outside in. You build it from the inside out. And, you know, you get so excited about the weapons. I just know this. If you don't block people, none of those weapons can actually produce. If you don't control the line of scrimmage, you realize that it takes 10 other guys to do their job exceptionally well for a wide receiver to sniff a football. And so, like, we are so twisted, and I think it's fantasy football that has twisted us. Like, we are so twisted as fans about what wins in the NFL, and we all think it's wide receivers. How wide receivers have duped America into believing they're important is beyond me. They are the most of a sport that's completely dependent. They're the most dependent player in the National Football League. Everybody else has to do their job for them to have success. And it baffles me that America thinks we're one receiver away from winning a championship. There is no team that has ever been one receiver away from winning jack squat. And so we keep falling into the narrative. We keep falling into this belief. We have general managers that buy into this baloney. It is garbage, absolute garbage.
Mark, that's where they – every year it's like 6-7 going round one, another 6-7 going the second round.
Because they don't want to pay them these exorbitant contracts.
But man, listen, use your early picks on linemen. That's how you win.
Amen.
That's how you win. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.